right now. We'll talk to you guys out there. The phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell phone. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have their second three-game win streak of the season, and they have a chance to sweep the World Series champions with a win tomorrow after a 10-6 win tonight. 18 hits, none of them home runs. A three-run rally with two out in the sixth with five straight hits. A six-run first. A great job by R.A. Dickey and Brett Cecil. A tremendous game for your Toronto Blue Jays. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin with Chris in Oakville, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how are you? I'm just left the Jays game. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome and aboard.
Thank you. And I just want to say that watching the Jays play today, a lot of fundamental baseball. The hitters were just going to make contact, making singles, doing fundamental baseball. No one trying to hit home runs. No one trying long ball. Just good old-fashioned smart baseball.
A lot of them were trying to hit home runs, I have to tell you. Not a lot of the home runs went out of the – nothing went out of the park. But I don't think there was a huge fundamental change in what the Blue Jays were trying to do. They were just really successful tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And Melky Cabrera reached the base five times. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what happened at the end of the sentence there. But, yeah, good for Melky Cabrera. And you know, he gets the World Series ring, and he's playing in so much pain. It was so apparent today, watching him struggle to run the bases, and he's going to have an MRI on that hamstring tomorrow, and you know, he is on fire. So one hopes that that it'll come back clean enough that he can continue to play. So a terrific night for Melky, a terrific night all around for the Blue Jays. Ryan in Markham, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. First, quickly, I'm sure you would agree, the only good thing that could be come from the Leafs losing last night is no more preempted Jays talk shows.
I don't mind letting people talk about the Maple Leafs. They're kind of a big deal, especially when they're in the playoffs.
I know, but I just think it's, I don't know, I just think Jays talk is just more... You know, I don't know why, but it's
Jays talk is a far the Blue Jays talk is a far, far better show. It's true than anything that has to do with the Maple Leafs.
Absolutely. So, anyway, that's a quick thing for you. Brett Cecil, I'm really impressed how basically he's become our second best reliever this year because you know he's a guy that they you know could have given up on you know, and I'm really glad they didn't because it mattered. Maybe it was just a question of finding a role. And he seems to be, like, right now, pitching really well. And it's, like, definitely been a lifesaver for us.
It's been great to see. It really has. Brett Cecil has been fantastic, and not just at getting lefties out, which is kind of how they thought he was going to be in the early part of the season. He's been someone who you can count on to come in and get big outs, and today wasn't big outs. Obviously, they were up 10-2 or 9-2 when he came into the game. But it really, you know, he's a you feel at ease when he comes into a game out of the bullpen.
It's funny how there's always like a couple guys every year, you know, who sort of are not sort of the, you know, getting the publicity that other players would get. And then they come out of nowhere and then they are like valuable players.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's funny to say that that's kind of what you have to do to have a winning team, even though this team is not winning. They're only 16-24. But yeah, you need those guys to sneak up on you and have good seasons that you didn't expect. And Brett Cecil, coming into the spring, was life and death to make this team.
Yeah, I just got one other quick thing for you, Mike.
Sure.
Are the Yankees still winning?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Last I saw, they were tied.
Okay, they were losing in Seattle. I just got
and now winning. You're right. It's 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth.
Unbelievable. They were losing 3-0 to Felix Hernandez. Now they're winning. It's just, I mean, I hate the Yankees so much. You have no idea. And to see them winning, with, when you look at their lineup, like, let's be reasonable, they're a bunch of has-beens in relative to what other teams have, and they still manage to win. I just, what is it with these guys? It's killing me, like.
I'm not enjoying it either, I have to tell you, and I just, I'm hoping that it's going to be over soon. You know, although they got Curtis Granderson back tonight, and their other players are getting healthy, so we'll see. But Vernon Wells, for one, says that, you know, you become different when you put on those pinstripes, that the Yankees mean something, and I don't know if I believe it.
But that's what I'm starting to wonder. Like, it's exactly what I was thinking. Like, what is it when they put on this bloody uniform? Like, Girardi can't be that good of a manager. Like,
no, it's nothing to do with Joe Girardi. They're playing well. What can I tell you? It's 162 game season, and we're only not even a quarter of the way into it. So we'll see. How it goes the rest of the year.
You got it. Well, it'll be interesting, but you know, it's a long year, so I'm confident that they'll come back to earth.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate the call. Blue Jays beat the San Francisco Giants 10-6 tonight. It is the Blue Jays talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to Norway, Maine. Listening on sportsnet590.ca. Brandon, it was far more impressive before I found out that you're in the United States. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, I watched the Bruins game, and I was cheering for the Bruins. It's kind of awkward being a Jays and Bruins fan, but I was cheering for the Bruins last night, and I can't believe they came back.
Yeah, well, we have Leafs talk for a reason, and this ain't it, so move on.
Anyway, about the Jays, I couldn't believe somebody asked you what a hit and run was on Twitter to begin with.
Well, I have trouble. I mean, I don't mind that at all, and I welcome all new Blue Jays fans, and I think it's wonderful that more people are starting to get interested and wanting to learn more about baseball. But I have trouble that same person on Twitter was writing me earlier in the evening and insulting other Blue Jays players and then
Gallant,
you know,
and Romero.
Asked me what a hit and run is. It was a little odd, to say the least.
Yeah. I had a question about Marcus Stroman.
Sure.
How much longer is his suspension?
I think another 5 days. May 19th, I believe the suspension is over.
Is he an option for the Blue Jays?
Not right now, but in a couple of weeks, yeah. He is. Yeah. He's going to be in New Hampshire, and he'll get a start maybe on May 19th and go 4 or 5 innings. So far, he's pitched really, really well in extended spring, and the Blue Jays have been very impressed with him. So if the Blue Jays continue to need starting help, I would not be surprised to see Marcus Stroman here in early June.
I think it'd be really cool to see him at Blue Jays. At Blue Jays, yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry.
I don't quite know what that means. But okay, I think that he's got a chance to be pretty good. And you know, when he was drafted last year, they talked about how he was the closest to the big leagues and all like that. If he hadn't gotten suspended, I'm confident that he would be here already. And the way Alex Anthopoulos is talking about him, he's definitely an option going forward as we get closer. Well, the end of his suspension has to happen, and then he's got to get stretched out a little bit more. But, yeah, I don't know if I want to say it or not. I'd rather have him in the Blue Jays rotation than Ramon Ortiz. And so we'll see what happens with Marcus Stroman. We'll see what happens with the rest of the Blue Jays talk as well, as we're going to continue on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, all the way until 11 o'clock Eastern. Phone lines remain open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. If you are not in the Sportsnet 590 The Fan listening area, you can tune us in on sportsnet590.ca, on Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904, or on your Rogers Radio app as we continue to Blue Jays talk it up. A 10-6 victory for the good guys. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network.
Pitch floated to right field. That's dropping quickly. A base hit in front of Hunter Pence. Around third, Cabrera getting the wave home. Here's the throw. It's up the first base line. Head first line. Cabrera scores. Bautista to third. Into second on the throw goes Edwin. And the Blue Jays are in flight here in the first, leading the Giants 1-0.
And the Blue Jays would score five more times in that first inning. A 6-0 lead turns into a 10-6 win. The final score closer than the actual game. It was 10-2 going into the eighth when Brad Lincoln came in and gave up four runs in an inning and two-thirds. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. We go out to St. John, New Brunswick, the ancestral homeland of MLB.com's Gregor Chisholm, and we have Greg listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Not, this isn't Gregor, is it?
Purely coincidental.
Oh, okay. All right. Is everybody in St. John named Greg?
No, there's quite a collection of us.
All right. Good to hear.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great win tonight, and it's nice to finally see glimpses of the team that we all thought we had going into the season. That month of April was hard to watch.
It really was.
Nice to start to see glimpses.
There's a lot of glimpses, though. Six wins in the last nine games is a heck of a glimpse.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Now, look, Mike, I'm calling mostly to talk about an issue I think I see with injury assessment on this team, for lack of a better term. Now, obviously, teams deal with this all the time. Somebody gets hurt. You think it's minor. You think they've got a day-to-day injury and maybe underdiagnosed it. It seems that's happened so much last year and this year with the Jays that you do wonder if there's a bit of a problem, whether it was Brett Laurie starting the season or Jose Bautista or more recently with Sergio Santos. You know, everything we heard about a week ago, right from Alex Anthopoulos down, was, you know, Santos is rehab and he's doing great. Things seem to be coming along nicely. We want to see two games. And then next thing you know, he needs surgery and he's probably going to be out for 60 days or most of the season.
Six weeks.
It seems to happen enough that, you do have to wonder, is there something, the matter in injury assessments in the system, or is there maybe a lack of transparency when the team is dealing with the media about how serious they admit that injuries are to their own players?
You know, I'm glad you're asking this, Greg, because I hear about this a lot on the Twitter. I get this question a lot, and it seems that people are very upset about this. And honestly, and I don't mean to diminish, because I want to talk to you about this, I don't understand what the big deal is. I really don't. I mean, let's take Sergio Santos as a test case, for example, right? He has the triceps thing. It's a little sore. He tries to pitch through it. They don't use him in Detroit, and then they tell us that it hurts. And then he pitches a game, I think, in Kansas City, and then has to go on the DL because they don't want it to get any worse. And he has an MRI. The MRI shows that there are bone spurs and there are loose bodies, which, you know, MRIs show in pretty much every pitcher. But the answer is shut him down for 2 weeks, get him started again, and unless it hurts, he should be okay. And a lot of guys can tolerate it and wind up coming back. And he was on the road back, but then he pitched, what's today, Tuesday, 3 days ago, Saturday in Dunedin, and he felt pain. And the pain was coming from the bone spurs, and they decided, you know what, that's it. Let's get him out, get some surgery going here, and clean this thing up so that he can come back. So, you know, for him, it's, and I think for everybody else, it's just a factor of being a human being. And there's no way for the Blue Jays to know how long a guy is going to be out when he gets hurt. And I don't think that they're under-reporting injuries. I think they may believe the player's assessment in that, you know, they think they can come back sooner. Jose Bautista said to our faces every day for 4 days, I should be able to play tomorrow. And that's what he was telling John Gibbons. So that's what John Gibbons was telling us, too.
Yeah, and they want to be cautious. I understand that.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be right every time.
In fact, they're probably not going to be right most times.
No. And maybe it's just a frustrated fan's bias. It just seems like almost every time there's a change with the player, it's almost always for the worse, and things are so really. I want to hold my breath and say Jose Reyes is going to be ready when they say Reyes is going to be ready. But man,
they're saying he may be ready early now. but that's like a, that's a way down the road thing. I think what happens is that when you're, you know, when you're rehabbing from injury, very often it's not a straight line rehab, right? You don't always hit the milestones when you're supposed to, and sometimes there are setbacks, and that can happen, and that's part of the human thing. And you know, I think maybe setting the date is the issue that the Blue Jays are having, and maybe what they should just tell us is that they'll be out until they're back, and then no one will get upset.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll still find reasons to complain about that.
Yeah, well.
Oh, no doubt.
That's for
you know
sure.
You know how we are. Anyway, thanks for taking the call.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think that they're just, you know, in nobody's got a crystal ball. They're all best guesses as to when players will be able to come back from injury. Nobody knows for sure when someone's going to be back. And unfortunately, the Blue Jays' guesses on injury returns so far this season have been on the early side. But I don't think there's any malevolence attached. I don't think they're trying to deceive the public at all. I think this is just the way things are happening. And at least it's not hockey. Right? Where hockey, you would never know what's wrong with someone. You never know how long they're going to be out for. I would feel like an idiot if I was telling you. Jose Reyes left the game with a lower body injury. Because how stupid is that? But that's hockey for you. So at least we don't have that. More of your phone calls coming up. But first, we're going to hear from the Blue Jays manager, John Gibbons, what he had to say in the wake of a 10-6 win over the San Francisco Giants.
Since you were one hit on Friday, you've had 38 hits in three games. What's happened?
You know, we got some guys who can hit, that's for sure. We've been kind of waiting on that. You know, like I've said over and over, that we hadn't had many games in a row where we were breaking loose like that. But, it's in there, and we're starting to see it, yeah, especially the last two games. But that's what we're capable of, you know. And we had the big first inning. And then we kind of went cold there. It's not uncommon. You see teams, they score a lot of runs in the first inning, and all of a sudden the team just starts creeping back in, you know. And then, of course, we opened it up a little bit later. But, we're really swinging the bats well.
What did you think of RA's performance tonight?
Good. Great job. What did he strike out? 10 strikeouts, something like that? Early on that, you know, the knuckleball was, it was alive. He had a tough time keeping in the zone there for a little stretch. He was throwing a lot of fastballs at one point. You know, he did have that crack in his fingernail again. I don't think it was a major factor, but, you know, it's not normal. But he pitched through it. He took advantage of the fact that we gave him some cushion there. And he got some big outs, some big strikeouts late in the game, you know, in his last couple innings. Nice job, real nice job.
Usually when you put up a number like that, there's a few home runs attached to it, but you guys did it more piecemeal today. Anything that you liked or anything specific you saw in the approach of your guys that maybe allowed you guys to string together hits?
Well, against good left-handers that, they can pick the plate apart, especially away on you, and then you can change speeds. You really got to stay. You just got to stay on the ball. You got to stay out over the plate with them, because that's where they make their living. You know, and we got some big hits the other way. Even Jose, a couple hits the other way. Milky, the big day at the plate. A lot of guys. A lot of good hitting. Lori, a couple hits the other way. So, all I saw was we were staying on the ball, and that's what good hitters do. You know, you can still hook it and put them in the seats, but you still got to be able to cover away.
Kibbe did it. Did it look like Melky was inspired in the dugout? I mean, he was there as a DH, so you would have seen more of him there.
Inspired?
By playing his former team.
And no, you know what? I didn't notice anything different. I know he was glad to see some of the guys, and he got his ring. You know, he's pretty excited about that. It's a nice ring, by the way. He's been on a nice little roll lately. He really has. Like I said, he'll get checked out tomorrow, find out how his legs are, see if there's anything there. But he can hit. He's always been a good hitter. But he's, you know, early on he struggled like just about everybody else. Now he's starting to feel a little bit.
So there he is, manager John Gibbons. Good things to say about Melky Cabrera, who is really on a little roll, hitting .410 over the last nine games, in which the Jays have won six. Andrew Nye, standing by, wants to give us a sports update. He's actually quite good at that, so I suggest you continue to listen, and then we will have the more of the Blue Jays talk as we continue on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Swung on, line to right field. That's going to drop for a base hit. Encarnacion scores. Kawasaki going to third. Lowry will jog into second. He's got an RBI double. It is 9-2 Blue Jays. Part of a three-run sixth inning for the Blue Jays on their way to a 10-6 win over the San Francisco Giants. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go to Peter in St. Catharines. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk, Peter.
Well, Mike, I just want to know. I picked up the Jeff Blair's book, Full Count, and I'm only a couple of pages in, and I recommend to any Blue Jay fan to go and do yourself a favor and pick that up. That's a very good read.
I'm led to understand it is a riveting read. I can't wait until he gives me a free copy.
Well, there you go. Well, hopefully you deserve it.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to ask about second base. What I don't seem to know, what is the plan for them when Reyes comes back? For the long term, for this season, who do they want? Do they want Asturias or Bonifacio?
I don't know if they want either one to be the full-time guy. I think the plan when they started the season was to rotate, to let them share the job and to go with a hot hand for a while. But, I don't like looking a month or two down the road and figuring out what they're going to do when we get to that point. We'll see what the situation is when Jose Reyes comes back, whether that's the end of June, whether it's the middle of July. Later than that, who knows, but he's out of the boot now and things seem to be progressing well with him. I know people want to know now what's going to happen in 6 weeks. Nobody knows. And they're, who knows what the plan is. Emilio Bonifacio started three straight games. Now he's playing left field, and maybe he'll do that more often if Melky Cabrera's got to be out for a while. And maybe one of them will be hitting really well by the end of June, and maybe they both will. Maybe neither of them will, and they'll have to go looking for somebody else. No idea. The ideal for them is to have them both sharing the position and both doing well while doing that.
All right, very good. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call. It's too bad that there isn't a guy that you can say, this is our full-time second baseman going forward for the next few years. But there isn't that right here with the Blue Jays at the moment. Dean is in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. Quick question. Why do you think that Dick has been able to pitch to the NL, seeing as like what he's done tonight and in the past, but when it comes to the AL, he just gets kicked around, the knuckleball just gets beat around?
That's not anything true, though, Dean. It's not true.
We've seen that. He's been getting kicked around.
He's had two bad starts this year.
But those bad starts, they were kicked around. Compared to in the NL, if he had a bad start, it would be a couple runs here and there with his losses.
Would it?
That's what it looked like.
Do you know that, or is that just what you think because he won the Cy Young Award?
Well, no, that's what it was last year and the year before that. His losses, they came around. They were three runs, four runs, compared to when the two losses that he's had, let's say, have been...
He's had five losses this year.
No, but the two major ones.
Uh-huh.
He's been getting kicked around. And then, like, when it comes, the NL comes in, it's a great start.
Well... Yeah, he had a very good start tonight. I wouldn't call it great. He only went six innings and threw 115 pitches, but it was a very, very good start tonight. But your thesis statement, I mean, it's just not true. In the two games in which Dickey's gotten beat up this year, was it the 13-0 loss to Boston and the 8-1 loss to Seattle, he had a start almost identical to the start in the 13-0 loss last April against the Atlanta Braves when he gave up eight runs in four and a third innings in a start. He gave up against Seattle seven runs on six hits. And last year, all right, he had an 8, but he didn't have a 7, but he had a bunch of 5s, and he had a few outings in which he didn't go 5 innings. Not too many. You can't win a Cy Young Award if you have too many of them.
Yeah.
But it's not as though every start of his last year was fantastic and every start this year against the American League has been awful. And in fact, last year against the American League, he threw a complete game one hitter against the Tampa Bay Rays in interleague play, and he threw a complete game one hitter against the Baltimore Orioles. So it's, you know, this is, there's an idea that's come up that he's having a hard time against the, that he's going to be terrible because he's coming from the National League to the American League.
Well, not terrible. He's a former Cy Young winner. So.
Right. Right, but I mean, you even said it. He gets kicked around. You said in your call was that every time he's faced an American League team, he's been kicked around, which couldn't be further from the truth. But the truth is that he's had, I don't know if the word is a difficult adjustment to a new team, if the injury has affected him somewhat, or he just hasn't been as sharp as we hoped he'd be. But there's still a whole bunch of season left, and he's had far more good starts than bad starts this year.
Yep, that's good to say. That's true to say.
Right.
Just another quick question. With Bonifacio seeing him in left tonight and not knowing what's going to be happening there, and Colby being, he's great on defense, but being he's hitting the ball hard, but he's striking out a lot. How long do you think till they give Ghost a try in the outfield?
Anthony Ghost is striking out more than once a game in AAA.
Oh, is he? Sorry.
Yeah. And he struck out more than once a game over the course of his entire professional career. So he's,
Is there anyone that could be coming in?
No one who could play center field like either one of those guys, right? Colby is a very good center fielder, and Ghost is even better. But so it's one of them. But we'll see what happens with Melky. It would not surprise me if we find out tomorrow that he has to go on the disabled list. The way he was running the bases today was just—it was painful to watch.
Yeah, running into third on his first.
Yeah,
third,
yeah, and like he couldn't stop there, going to second on that double, he really hesitated and didn't go until he saw the throw was coming home, and wouldn't have scored in the first inning had the throw not been offline too. It's just you can see how much pain he's in. So. If he has to go on the DL, it would not surprise me to see Ghost, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Moises Sierra either, who's hitting about .350 in AAA. It wouldn't surprise me to see Sierra either way after the game tomorrow, because they're probably going to make a decision on a pitcher and they need to replace Rajay Davis somehow. So, but Ghost isn't the solution if the complaint about Rasmus is the strikeouts.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate it, Dean. Thanks very much for the call. Blue Jays beat the San Francisco Giants 10-6 tonight. We go to Tom in Oakville. Tom, welcome aboard.
Mike, where are all the John Gibbons haters? What happened to them?
Well, I think what happened is they've realized that John Gibbons just walked into the clubhouse last Sunday and told the Blue Jays to start winning games, and they have.
That's right, and he's finally tinkered around with the lineup until he's finally got a point where this lineup is starting to produce, and it's looking good right now for them.
Yeah, it's the hitters who are doing the producing, much like they weren't doing the producing early on. But it is kind of cool to see screw the leadoff, man. I'm putting my top three hitters in the top three spots in the order.
Yeah, and it's come through. And I think tonight there was 8 hits for the top three guys and 6 runs scored and 3 walks.
There were 8 hits. There were 3 walks, and there were 6 runs scored. You're absolutely right.
That's pretty impressive. There was not one home run by those three.
Or by anybody.
And finally, it's really nice to see. It's not John Gibbons who's the problem. It's the players that finally start to perform well, and he's finally just, tinkered around with a little bit here and there, and something's working. Now the players all of a sudden are performing. He's not making these so-called mistakes that all the John Gibbons haters were saying.
I don't think any of the John Gibbons haters ever pointed out a mistake other than the fact that the Blue Jays weren't winning games.
Yeah, they didn't. He didn't make any mistakes, but they said he was at fault.
Right.
Right? So,
what? People need somebody to blame. And it's unfortunate that the first place people go is the manager. And it's really unfortunate. There were a lot of people who called in, too, who said, I know it's not his fault. He should be fired anyway, which to me is just, it's crazy. But it does happen sometimes.
Yeah. And I still remember there was that one guy who called. I don't remember. He said there was an alcoholic in the dressing room or something.
I don't remember that.
Oh, there was one guy who said there's got to be an alcoholic on the team, and that's the problem.
I do remember that.
You remember that? So maybe the guy quit drinking. You never know. You know, you never know. Or maybe that fan quit drinking. You never know, right?
Could be. Thank you.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
All right. I appreciate it. Yeah, we haven't heard from anyone who wants to fire John Gibbons since the Blue Jays started off on this run that's seen them win 6 out of their last 9. Daryl is in Toronto. Daryl, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, been a while since I've talked to you. I'm hanging in there
back
with this team. Actually, I've been on hold so long, I'm going to get to my point quickly on why I called in for, but a couple other things have come up that I thought about. So Cabrera possibly hurt, or at least he's got some issues with his legs. Unfortunate, eh? You know, between him and Jenkins pitching and Ortiz pitching and Kawasaki at short and Santos, this isn't what we signed up for, unfortunately, this year. It's too bad. It's unfortunate. But hopefully it all works out injury-wise for these guys, because it's not great, is it?
Well, there's still three quarters of a season to go, so
exactly.
We'll see.
Which gets to my next point. I got two scenarios. One, to see what your 2 cents were on what you thought was more likely. This team, you know, and of course Dickey with his sore back and Morrow, you know, there's issues injury-wise, but how, of course, and Reyes being out every day, which is just killing us. You know, love Kawasaki, but let's be honest, right? It's a huge blow not to have him every day hitting leadoff.
Absolutely.
But what do you think of this scenario? You know, a little bit too late into the season, everything comes together. The injuries get cleared away. Everyone starts playing like they're capable of. They look like far and away the best team in the AL East and in the American League, but just too little too late to catch up to make a run into the playoffs this year.
It's possible. Certainly
yeah,
possible.
Yeah.
They've left themselves quite a hill to climb.
But on that note, you know, in reality, and there's a lot of people thinking they just can't climb back from where they are, but how many games under 500 are they right now? Six,
eight.
Seven, eight, eight.
Eight.
Okay. So let's be realistic. We got a few weeks left in May. Here's my thinking. There's a few weeks left in May. We got all of June. Let's say we take that time to get to 500. We then have all of July, all of August, and all of September, 3 months of baseball to make a push to 5 to 10 to 15 games above 500, which is not that hard to do if you have a good ball club with a good pitching staff. And then all of a sudden, everything that's happened thus far is just a memory.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I do think you're right. If they can get back to 500 by the beginning of July, honestly, I think they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It may take them longer than that to get back to 500. It may not. They picked up 3 games on it in the last 9, so it's tough to keep winning 6 out of every 9, though.
Yeah.
Especially with the pitching staff in the state that it currently is. But, you know, even if it's the All-Star break, even if it's August 1st,
right.
I mean, look at the Detroit Tigers last year and how long they lasted until they finally hit their stride. And, yes, that was the AL Central, not the AL East. But the AL East may not be the AL East anymore. We shall see.
Yeah, and comebacks in September. Let's be honest. The Cardinals and the Braves, you know.
But that's only
Colorado Rockies
once ever.
I know,
right? You're talking about stuff that's extremely
rare. I know, but it's happened 3 or 4 times in the last 3 or 4 seasons, at least. But anyway, you know, coming back from 10 games. Well,
It's happened once. It's coming back from 10 games in September has happened once ever.
Well, okay, but I just remember the Cardinals making a big comeback.
They did.
I remember the Braves crashed.
The Braves crashed and the Cardinals came back. They were 9.5 games out at like the end of August. August 20-something.
Yeah, I know
the Rays came back on the Red Sox.
Rockies
had the
20-game
win streak.
So, yeah, there's three. But one other quick point quickly, if I have a
minute. Very quickly.
Yeah. So Blanco as the backup catcher, I think Tolley's hitting fairly well down in AAA,
is
he not?
Yep.
Do you think, especially when they were struggling with hitting and scoring runs, was that ever an option that you heard of maybe replacing Blanco with Tolley to pitch to Dickey or to catch for Dickey and to maybe help out with hitting a little bit more?
No, Blanco's not here to hit. You know, he's here to catch R.A. Dickey. R.A. Dickey loves him. And I know Tolley caught him last year when he won the Cy Young. But Josh Tolley's job with the Blue Jays organization is to be their starting catcher if J.P. Arencibia gets hurt. The idea is to get him every day at bats in Buffalo and to continue to get him every day at bats. And if Henry Blanco's going to get 6 or 7 at bats a week, that's okay. They'd rather have Blanco getting those 6 or 7 at bats a week and Josh Tolley getting up 20, 30 times a week in AAA so they can be ready to step in and play every day if Arencibia goes down.
I just thought he caught Dickey as well as Blanco, generally speaking, and if his hitting was a little bit better, it was just maybe a better option. That was my thought.
You got to remember, it's only 5 or 6 at bats a week.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Before we go, our intrepid reporter, Eric Prime, spoke to San Francisco Giants manager Bruce Bochy about presenting Melky Cabrera with his World Series ring prior to the game today. There wasn't a ceremony or anything. He just gave it to him in the clubhouse, and Melky went out and got 4 hits. Here's what Bruce Bochy had to say.
It was brief, but, he was thankful, excited that he got the ring, and I thanked him for his contribution. It's pretty simple, but I think he was looking forward to getting it and seemed very excited about getting his ring.
And what's your relationship like him personally, would you say, without revealing too much, obviously?
With him?
Yeah.
Good. He was a good teammate with us, played hard every day. He did a lot of good things for us. It's unfortunate what happened. We all make mistakes. But I will say, he was a good guy to have on the club. He did all we asked, and like I said, he played hard. He played the game right. What's happens behind us, and I'm glad to see he's got a job here and playing here for the Blue Jays. But we're grateful for what he did for us.
So there he is, San Francisco Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Pleasant things to say about Melky Cabrera, especially after Cabrera just threw down 4 hits on him, to pace the Blue Jays to a 10-6 win over the San Francisco Giants in the first of this 2-game mini-series and, really, mini-homestand. Back at it tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern, Ramon Ortiz against Ryan Vogelsong as the Blue Jays try for their first 4-game win streak of the season. Thanks to Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt. See you then.